IGTV.
Don't worry, folks. My camera is not going to fall off the tripod because I have it duct taped to the tripod. Yes, I thought of everything. This is how we operate here at MZTV. If the phone does happen to fall in spite of the tape, I'll keep the camera running. It will be entertaining for one and all. Again, welcome to the show. I have a real revelation for you today, and this is something I just saw, and this revelation is a little difficult for me. I'm going to have to work through this, but I'm not being facetious. I can handle it, but I think most of you are going to love it, and I will learn to love it. In fact, it's going to be great. I have new insight from the scriptures of what we are going to be doing among the celestials. So buckle in. This is going to be a show. I told you before of Pastor Clay Kent. This was a man in Florida. When I first came to Florida in 95 to teach at a conference, I met Clay Kent. He was the guy I eventually would debate on the topic of human free will. I think you've heard me talk about that. But this guy had this idea of what we were going to be doing among the celestials. And he just couldn't wait to just, I really think he said this. Okay, he's deceased now. I can't call him and ask him. But I'm pretty sure he says that we're going to kick Satan in the head. This guy must have been a boxer or something in his earlier years. He was a feisty guy, and he was all excited about just wreaking havoc, especially against Satan. And we were going to, quote, kick him in the head. And he painted this picture of celestial warfare. And he actually taught, it's coming to my mind now, I'm remembering this, he taught concerning the armor of God, that the armor of God would protect us in the celestial realm, that we would need the armor of God when we were changed among the celestials. So he had this idea of a great battle, like Michael the Archangel battling the Prince of Persia. And he was looking forward to wearing this celestial armor and having these weapons and things like that. And it never sat right with me. And then I told him, and I taught this, and I'm convinced of this, the armor of God is for now, not then. The armor of God protects us from Satan's lies. And we'll be impervious to his lies then. We don't need that armor then. We need it now. So the verse that opened up this revelation to me came about in a strange way. Someone asked me what Abraham's role would be, since Paul calls on Abraham as the father of faith, and yet we know that James calls on Abraham as one whose works followed his faith. And so the question was, is Abraham in the body of Christ? And the verse I went to for that, I said, no, there's no way Abraham's in the body of Christ. Well, how do you know? He can't be an Israelite. Well, it's true he wasn't an Israelite, and yet he's the grandfather of Israel. And instead of talking about it, there's one verse that seals the deal. And it was while looking at this verse that a word just jumped off the page at me. And it sent me on this exploration of other scripture verses. Here's the verse. Matthew 8, verse 11. Our Lord says this. I am saying to you that many from the east and west shall be arriving. Speaking of the kingdom, the millennium. Shall be arriving and reclining with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of the heavens. Now we're in Matthew, which is the kingdom account. You will read more about the kingdom in Matthew than any other of the circumcision writings. And the kingdom of the heavens, I remind you, and I want to inform new people to this channel, the kingdom of the heavens is heavenly in character, but its location is on earth. Remember what Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. This is the Israel expectation, not ours. Our expectation is among the celestials. This is the difference, one of the big differences between our gospel, the gospel of the uncircumcision, and the gospel given to Israel. And I detail all these things in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. And if anyone new is watching, I encourage you to get that book. It'll explain everything to you in excruciatingly wonderful detail. It's packed with scripture after scripture after scripture. But here's the word that really surprised me. Many from the east and the west shall be arriving and reclining with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Who will be the biggest powerhouses besides our Lord in the kingdom? Certainly the 12 apostles, certainly King David, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also the 12 sons of Jacob, namely Israel. But what will the people be doing who will be arriving in the kingdom, will be coming to the capital city of Jerusalem? They will be reclining. Why would they be reclining? Because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be reclining. That's the word, reclining. It means just what you think it means. If you have a recliner in your living room, you pull that magic lever and you lay back. And this was especially true in Eastern countries, probably still is, where people don't sit in chairs. They are on couches and they recline and they're relaxed. And when these potentates, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are visited by emissaries from the four corners of the earth, they will find these patriarchs reclining. Because this is their time of rest. This is their time of repose. Which is not to say that they're not powerful. But we picture, and actually I've always pictured also, that power comes with great activity, great movement, great action. And that is the human way. That is our way. That's the way we know. But is it the scriptural way? Let me go to another verse in Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 through 19. Now evening coming on, the disciples come to him, saying, this place is a wilderness, and the hour already passed by. Dismiss then the throngs, large crowds following Jesus and the disciples, that coming away into the villages, they should be buying themselves food. Yet Jesus said to them, they have no need to be coming away. You give them something to eat. Yet they are saying to him, nothing have we here except 5 cakes of bread and 2 fishes. Now he said, bring them here to me. And ordering the throngs to recline on the grass, taking the 5 cakes of bread and the 2 fishes, looking up into heaven, he blesses them, and breaking them, he gives the cakes of bread to the disciples, yet the disciples to the throngs. So the Lord, the potentate, the ultimate potentate besides God himself, the Son of God, is ordering his disciples at this time, during this time of their humiliation, to serve. And the people he is serving are told to do nothing. For the first time in their lives, these people don't have to work for their food. and he tells them to recline on the grass. Not on the rocks, not in the cliffs, not in the caves. Lay back, recline on the grass, and you will be served. Now I want to go to Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Mind you, this is still the kingdom evangel, yet I'm going to go to Ephesians shortly. Luke 12, 37. Happy are those slaves whom the Lord, coming, will be finding watching. Verily, I am saying to you that he will be girding himself, the Lord will be girding himself, and causing them to recline. And coming by will be serving them. This is how our Lord treats those he is about to work for. He girds himself and causes them to recline. Same thing happened with feeding the 5,000 in the wilderness. Caused them to recline. This is our Lord serving in his humiliation. He's working. And those he blesses are reclining. And yet we see a very telling incident in our Lord's life when the centurion, the Roman centurion, comes to him, tells him about his son who is afflicted. And Jesus said, I will come to your house and heal your son. So here was going to be another case of our Lord trudging miles on the dusty roads to bless someone. And yet, what does the centurion say? Lord, I am not worthy for you to enter into my home. Just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Say the word. Power, a higher power than trudging toward the individual to be blessed. And our Lord speaks the word, and the servant was healed. And the Lord said, I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. That's the higher power. It was only in his humiliation that our Lord worked, girds himself. When the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, the king of Israel, or when any important person, King David, another example that comes to mind, when they are visited, the king is reclining. The king doesn't move anywhere. The people come toward him, seeking an audience. Those seeking the audience work and travel. But the one they are seeking, in this case, King Solomon or King David, they are the ones that are still, that are in control, that are in power, and they don't need, nor are they called upon to work or trudge. Maybe I shouldn't say they aren't called upon to work. They're not called upon to sweat. Yes, that's it. They're not called upon to sweat. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. This is our gospel. And Paul here is talking about our future, being vivified among the celestials in Christ. Ephesians 2, starting with verse 4, God being rich in mercy, because of his vast love with which he loves us, we also being dead to the offenses and the lusts, he vivifies us, speaking proleptically of what he's going to do, speaking of it as though it already were, vivifies us together in Christ, in grace you are saved, rouses us together, and seats us. Seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus, that in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace. How? How will he be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace? By sending us scurrying around the universe, heralding the word like we do now, traveling far and wide, trudging in order to get this word to the masses, in this case, the celestial masses? No. Ephesians 2:7, that in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This verse puzzled me for a long time. I'm seeing it now for the brightness and the beauty that it is. He displays the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us. So we become display vessels, reclining vessels, reclining potentates, because remember, at this time we will be members of the body of Christ and we will have all the authority of Christ. And we saw a picture of the authority of Christ even when he was on this earth in a rare, beautiful moment when somebody recognized his power and said, you don't even have to come to my house. You just say the word and my servant shall be healed. That is power. It's power and service that comes without sweat, without trudging, without work. The celestial world will see the grace of God by his kindness to us. Once again, we see the recipients of Christ's blessings reclining. And it looks to me like one of the main things we'll be doing among the celestials is soaking up Christ's kindness and allowing others to come to us to see what God has done with us. They are coming to us. We are not going to them. This is difficult for me. I told you this was difficult for me because I'm an action guy. I live in Fort Lauderdale, but you will not find me, unless I have to be, lying on the beach. I hate it. Whenever people come to visit me, everybody wants to go to the beach, of course. And anybody who even thinks about like moving to Florida, they say, oh, if I moved to Florida, I'd be on the beach all day. I can't stand to lay on the beach. I would much rather be risking my life swimming in the ocean, risking shark attack, than lounging. I enjoy the hard work and the sweat and the trudging that it takes to bring this evangel and the taping of the camera to the tripod. There's something about that that I enjoy. But this is speaking of a higher power that does not require that at all. It speaks of ease. I just thought of another verse. 2 Thessalonians. I didn't even write this one down, but it's so obvious to me now just as I'm speaking with you. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 5, a display of the just judging of God to deem you worthy of the kingdom of God. This is not the kingdom of the heavens. This is not the kingdom on the earth. This is our kingdom that is among the celestials, for which you are suffering. We're suffering now. We're trudging now. We're sweating now. If so be that it is just of God to repay affliction to those afflicting you, and to you who are being afflicted, ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven with his powerful messengers in flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God and to those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what will be happening on earth during the tribulation. But at that time, those who are now afflicted, whether by persecution or just by taking the evangel out or suffering evil in myriad ways for the evangel, we will be having ease at the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This is the strongest evidence in the scripture that we will not be here during the tribulation, but ease. This goes right along with reclining, with being display vessels. I have imagined the future work to be active, 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 gung-ho, moving, taking, bringing, yes, trudging. But apparently, I'm going to have to get used to lying on the celestial beach.